This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, you don't know nothing about this.
Do not, because I'm a young person.
Roger Troutman and Zapp.
Zapp and Roger.
Okay, it's Roger Troutman.
The group is called Zapp and Roger. Right?
Yes. At least according to YouTube, unless YouTube has got it wrong, okay?
Well, he's confusing people because it'd be like saying, here's David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen.
Now, when he's got that long pause, you're in trouble for like the rest
it's
of the
Van
show.
It's Van Halen. This is Zapp and Roger.
No, the face.
But
he doesn't have the cup. So.
What was the sample?
Dance floor. Here's the thing, because you took the one that I was going to take.
More bounce.
Yeah, but at the same time, I believe on the early albums, it was Roger Troutman and Zapp on at least one of the early albums.
Oh, so, was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I've got to have to look that up. I'm going to have to confirm.
I'll
have to check it out.
Okay.
Now, this is called Dance Floor, so who sampled Dance Floor?
See, this is the thing. I knew you were going to do that, and I had written them all out. Several people have, and now I got to go back and look it up.
More Bounce to the Ounce, according to intern John.
No, More Bounce to the Ounce is Barry's song. That's coming up in the third hour.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so no, he says no.
But yeah. A millennial is going to tell us about...
Yeah.
Well, he said
different. However, it's different if he and I are arguing, because we actually own the tapes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. The albums, the tapes, and not just the... You don't even own the greatest hits, and you're going to tell us. That's a stretch.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, way back Wednesday, I got hour number two.
And a very good choice to lead it off with.
Thank you. And as I said, I was going to take the one that you got. So you got, I think, in my opinion, the best one. But yeah, there are definitely several to choose from, as we mentioned, about Roger Troutman and Zapp.
Yes.
Or Zapp and Roger, Roger and Zapp.
Word.
All right. So we didn't talk about the game itself for the most part. You got your rant out of the way about things that are annoying as hell on the broadcast.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
I went out at one point with plenty of game left on Twitter, and the timeline can verify it. And I said, tonight's the night the Beard breaks Murph's record, and he may go for 60. At the time, I didn't think he hit it on the number, but I am not helping you people pick lottery numbers.
You nailed it.
You had to know it was coming. You know, Murph's one of those guys. And I thought Murph, by the way, total credit to Murph. I thought he handled it with class. He actually sent out a tweet, handled it great on the air. But I think inside it still chops him a little bit, because we remember how, and we've talked about on the show, when the free throw record was in jeopardy, he went behind the basket. But that record for 40 years.
Man.
And again, I hate to harp on this because he was just one hell of a basketball player, period. But when you factor in at his size, this man averaged 40 points a game in college. But then in the NBA, to continue to do that against literally the land of the Giants, and to have that record stand for that long with the history of Hakeem Olajuwon and Elvin Hayes and all the guys that played in a Rockets uniform, it's a pretty badass record, regardless of if it's now been broken. He's still on the list, and that's still one hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, and I like the fact that he was gracious when it happened, and he was like, I just didn't want, and I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, I just didn't want any knucklehead coming in here.
He wanted a Hall of Famer.
And I wanted a guy that deserved that record. And he got it. I mean, they're like you named a list of guys that have played for this team that haven't been able to break that record, including Olajuwon.
Moses Malone.
Yeah, I mean, you had guys like Drexler. You had guys that could fill it up. You had even Yao, and when he was one of the few guys in the league that
Tracy
could dominate.
McGrady.
Tracy McGrady. Even the days of Francis and Mobley
let's not overextend ourselves.
But they would shoot. That's all they would do.
Yeah.
It was all offense. That's all they cared about. And they weren't ever able to put in that kind of performance.
Let's not forget, they would do more than just shoot. They would dribble it till it actually had no more air left in it.
That's true. They would deflate the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good for him, and he handled it well. And if I'm being honest, you could see it was killing him inside.
Murph?
Yeah. When they came back at the end of the game, and he was like, and he made the statement about, well, I'm glad it was him and not some other guy. And then he was kind of laughing and looking at the camera. I was like, I just got that sense that, man, he really wanted that. He really wanted to hang on to that. And I don't blame him. There's no shame in that. I'm not saying that it's wrong, because who wouldn't?
It doesn't have the same ring to it. Oh, he was the
second highest. Yeah.
For 40 years, he had the record. It doesn't have the same ring.
No, yeah, there was no guy in that building that could say they've scored more in a game than him.
But that's the key. Yep.
And that would hurt. And it's like anything. If you had a record, you don't want anybody breaking your record. If it happens, you hope it's somebody that you respect.
Right.
But it would suck. But you could see it in his face, and I felt bad for him.
And you think about it. As you get older, as we all are going to, things are going to change.
They mean more.
But it doesn't mean that you have to be okay with it, because it had meaning at the time. It has more meaning to say it stood up for over 40 years. And all these guys in this score-happy NBA game these days, and all the opportunities to score, it's still hanging on. It meant so much to him because he is such a passionate Rockets guy that it had to chap him a little bit on the inside. I'm going to try and get him on at some point. But yeah, that I thought he handled it with class.
Yep,
and whoever handles his Twitter account handled with class, because Murph's not a tweeter. But
I was just gonna say, who was it that tweeted out the
someone probably
tweet
from,
to Harden, because it wasn't Calvin Murphy.
Someone from AT&T Sportsnet.
No, he can't.
Oh,
he
I've given him a hard time about it, and he's basically he doesn't do it.
Can he send a text?
Oh, he can text.
He can.
Yeah. I believe so. And I can't tell you the last time I received one from him.
I feel like Murph, the one thing Murph doesn't care about would be his phone. Like, he would probably still have a flip phone or a BlackBerry.
That's what I thought, honestly. I haven't seen him, so I can't say. I haven't seen the phone that he has.
He probably still has like a Razor, like a Motorola Razor. The old.
What you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like he's like, I don't care about phones.
Those are not even functional anymore.
I really shouldn't do this.
Do what?
I'm
Go ahead.
Do this.
Yes.
Uh-oh. You do know who has a flip phone, right?
Bill.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh,
he's got.
That's not breaking news.
He used to take.
No, Bill's got the jitterbug. It's got three buttons on it, 911, and then like the grandkids and somebody else. Like, it's only got the three buttons.
Yeah, like
the
big.
It's not the emergency alert.
No, it's the jitterbug phone. I wouldn't be surprised if he had one of those. That's their target demo.
Yeah, two is to call his wife, three is to call his kids, four is to call the Rockets owner or something.
No, the third one you got to save for 911. It's wife, grandkid, 911. Those are the three buttons and what they're programmed to. It's
wow. Okay, so at the same time, the other thing that people, and you mentioned the rebound, but Harden then becomes the highest scoring NBA game in history to also have it be a triple double, 60 points, and then the triple double on top of it. I thought Harden was a little less classy in the way he handled some of it, some of the quotes. Talking about himself and now I'm coming for your assist record too.
He said that jokingly.
He said that one, but some of the other ones, there were a little, he was pumping himself up a little bit, but that's fine. When you put up numbers like that, I mean, it's easy. Look, it's an impressive game, and they needed it. That's the biggest thing. The biggest thing is, now Nick Wright went out on the air this morning and said he just won the MVP for this year, hands down, because of that game last night. We're in January.
No.
Against the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, knock it off.
And oh, by the way, God forbid, but if he got hurt and missed another month, he ain't winning it.
Nope.
So slow down a little bit, shall we? Mm-mm. See, this is what we were talking about when you played the sampling.
But is this not right?
No, it is. I just wanted to get the...
Yeah. This is perfect.
Ray Charles.
The other one was a cover song, my bad. I thought they actually did change the lyrics, but they didn't in that song. Mm-hmm.
But this one was sampled by Kanye.
Ray Charles with Kanye and Jamie Foxx.
Yep.
The reason why I appreciate a guy like Ray Charles, because I always compare him to Stevie Wonder, obviously, because they're both blind and they played piano, but Ray played and Steve still plays. But Steve was born blind. Ray Charles was a kid that actually had sight. So imagine you're 5 years old and you're slowly losing your sight.
Yeah, they should do a
movie. And you're going up to your... They did. It's a fantastic movie.
They did?
Jamie Foxx did an unbelievable job.
Yeah, he really did.
I knew that. That's what I'm saying. I knew the
story.
Oh, you
were being facetious?
Yeah, I couldn't tell. Yeah. I couldn't tell
that
you were joking.
But, I mean, and both of them in their own way to deal with the hand they were dealt, so to speak.
But a kid he had sight. Yeah. He's slowly losing it. He's going up to mama saying, help me. She can't do anything for him. And then he eventually goes blind. And then still perseveres.
That's impressive. Crazy. And by the way, somebody corrected me on the text line and said, it's Roger and Zap, not the other way around. You're so wrong. You could not be more wrong, sir, for texting that. It's Zap and Roger. Google it.
Hey, that's why we have the beauty of the show. And differing opinions on a daily basis.
So this was Kanye. Did anybody else sample this? I feel like somebody else may have sampled it. Or the music, but I could be wrong.
Because it's Kanye and Jamie and
yeah, I know that one.
Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, that was the big one. But there's a thing called whosampled.com.
Didn't know that.
You should check it out.
Is that where you got all your music?
No, I got all my music.
Ex-producer DJ, bro.
Yeah.
Slow your roll. You know what?
One day I'm gonna make you my way back Wednesday is gonna be nothing but music that I created.
We don't want that.
Yeah, you do.
No, we don't.
Absolutely.
Are they all pre-2000?
Some of it is horrible. You definitely want that. And some of it's pretty good, and you would be impressed.
Just the Boom Boom tracks.
I don't even have those anymore. I might have one.
All right, we're going to come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
I got a woman way over town that's good to me.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, continuing to roll through a way back Wednesday. My list, of course, extraordinary.
This one might put you over the top, man. This is a really... I had no idea that who this guy was, and you probably knew that already.
He's also... This is going to be shocking to you because you have to look it up, too. He's the former lead singer of the Doobie Brothers. Then went off on his own, Michael McDonald.
Love it.
I had no... This probably puts him over... We still have to hear Barry's Hour.
Don't give it away because the champ's going to be upset.
Yeah, but I like the Ray Charles track, and I like this one.
Barry, let me just say
that. Barry has no approval on this.
In defense of the entire
right
show, before Barry just takes shots at me and my list, which is completely unnecessary. You want to scrap? We don't have to go to the food court. I'm just saying.
I mean, if you're ready, you want to do it now, on air?
I'm
or?
Perfectly ready.
Okay,
here's the thing.
Let's go.
That would be so
Barry's
awesome,
doing like right? the history. He's doing more of like a history of the sampling and some of the greatest samples and things like that based on his list. I'm doing ones that people might not have, especially you millennials in there, might not have known. There was an original to, and it wasn't just the song that came out.
Fantastic track.
There you go.
Big fan.
Who sampled this?
This is...
Regulators, right?
Yes, Regulators. Yes.
Warren G.
Yes. Warren G and Nate Dogg.
And wasn't there a sketch about Michael McDonald on like Saturday Night Live or something like that?
I mean, everybody imitates. You think about groups back then and the lead singer from Steve Perry and Journey to Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers, Peter Cetera in Chicago. They all had a very distinct, unique, kind of weird voice sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's kind of like, after the Bee Gees, he was a little less high-pitched, but still you couldn't understand all of his
words.
Was he
a Bee Gee?
No.
Oh, I was like, what?
Because he actually looked like Barry Gibb.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know... He has this very, it sounds like he's got a little something in his cheeks. Sometimes.
Yeah, he has a different tone. Didn't he try to come back? I want to say like in the 90s, maybe.
Yeah, he did Yamo Be There for one movie, I think it was. And then for, it was Billy Crystal and there's a dancer, Sweet Freedom. It was a movie and they were detectives. Jeffrey, he was a famous dancer that they made. Crossed over into acting, and they did a movie, and he did the Sweet Freedom. If you and Nick, you might be able to find it. Michael McDonald, Sweet Freedom. That was another song. He was doing like movie soundtrack songs after a while.
I know at one point though he was trying to remake a bunch of soul songs. Like,
yeah, that's the other thing.
It was
they cover.
Yeah, he was doing a bunch of covers. Like he had a whole album that was just soul.
Well, a weird thing was,
it was
like 2 years
what
ago.
What are you doing, dude?
We had a table at like the American Heart Association or something like that. And they didn't really, we didn't know who the entertainment was. And all of a sudden they roll out of a piano and you hear,
and you're like, oh,
like, hey, I know that.
Watch out.
Yeah. Look, he's making the banquet scene. But again, Huey Lewis in the News, Michael McDonald, they said they're making more money now.
Isn't that crazy?
Just doing like
the money's
corporate
better.
Appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't have to pay the producers and the labels and all the other things. They're making like six figures in appearance. And Huey Lewis in the News were honest. They were like, we can be in bed by 10. and we still made more money than we did on like three or five concert stops.
I know that there was a, because I listen to the 80s on 8 on XM radio sometimes, mm-hmm. and there's a cruise, an 80s rock cruise that you can take with that station where they'll have like Billy Squire and all these groups and you know, singers from the 80s that'll be on there performing. I'm just like, could you imagine? It probably just smells like old people and, you know, denture cream on this cruise. I bet it's horrible. It's like they, like the whole buffet is nothing but like pudding and rice and soft foods because everyone's
Jell-O.
Yeah, everyone's belly can't handle it and they don't have the teeth to chew anything. And some people are just jumping off the boat because they're old and they don't want to live anymore. They're like, why am I on this cruise? Ah, I just want to die. I could just imagine.
Now, that seems to happen with cruises lately. Everybody's
falling off. Yeah.
Here's the thing. You mentioned Billy Squire.
Yep.
Who back in the day.
Stroke, right?
The Stroke and several other songs. Yeah. But everybody, he was the heartthrob of all the chicks in high school and everything like that.
He was.
Got news for you. Barry plays for the other. I mean, he plays for the other team.
He does?
Yeah. I had someone that said that, someone we actually mentioned on this show previously, but I'm not going to call out, but got backstage when he was performing in Houston in the last 10, 15 years, found out. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even switch hitting.
Not hard rocker, so to speak, but just, you know.
Well, maybe Stroke wasn't what we thought he was talking about. Mm-mm. Wrong kind of Stroke.
Might have been a meaning that we didn't foresee. I mean,
it was still Stroke and just a different kind of Stroke.
If the remake comes out and they're sampling might be a little bit closer to Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Just relax.
Angel said, what's up, fellas? Love the show. Happy anniversary from your number one fan. We appreciate you, man. Really,
yes, we
do.
Seriously.
I say that all the time when people say, hey, I listen to the show and I love it. Dude, we could not be more appreciative because, like, if no one's listening, then we're not here. So I absolutely do appreciate it. And when we say that, somebody said, why is Rick James not on a playlist? That's too easy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you go Rick James, Super Freak,
but
and that was MC Hammer, that's almost too easy.
Ironically, what your list will also provide is people don't realize, they think that Rick James would have the most sampled songs or top.
Nope.
But it's not even close.
Nope.
When you start looking at the actual most sampled songs in other songs, it's not even close. And a lot of them are obscure people you wouldn't even know.
Yes. There's the one of the last ones that I'm going to play. You've never heard the song. All you've heard is the very end, Fab Five Freddy just says, this DJ is really fresh. And that's one of the most used or sampled songs because that's what most DJs will scratch with. And so that's going to be on my list, one of those. But the song itself is so obscure. And it's terrible. It's a terrible song.
Yep. So this is, you could go either way.
This is really good.
Queen or David Bowie, but you millennials will know Ice Ice Baby out of this.
Yeah. Good pick.
There you go. All right, we'll be back with the second half of the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Halftime. As 90 minutes in the book, 90 more still to go. And what a pleasant surprise. I was trying to track down my man. I was giving him lots of love in the first half of the show. But the man who handled everything with class last night, but a man that, like I said, for 40-plus years had a record with a franchise that had a ton of talent on it, Calvin Murphy joins us right now. And, Murph, I said it while you were not listening, so I want to say it while you are. You handle everything just absolutely flat out perfectly, but I know how much that record meant to you. And as I said to people, I hate to bring size into it because you were just one hell of a player. And I mentioned what you averaged in college, but the fact that that record withstood time for 40 years has got to make you feel pretty proud.
Oh, absolutely, Joby. You know, first of all, the reason that record meant so much to me is because of my grandchildren. It meant so much to them. As far as I'm concerned, the 40 years that I was able to hold on to it was enough for me. You know, and I'm proud that I was able to have that record. Remember now, I was too small to play in this league.
Yes.
And, you know, when I left a legacy behind. Last night when James Harden broke it, all the stars lined up perfectly. That was an incredible game on his part. It was just simply incredible. When you talk about big events in the Rockets history, the first one was Hakeem's quadruple-double.
Right.
And then last night for James Harden to get 60 points and have a triple-double, the first time in NBA history, and my record fell within that confine, it's impressive to me.
Murph, try and get him to do it with 9 pairs of socks on. Then he'd be doing something.
I've had people call me and ask me, about the record. Did I want him to break it? Absolutely not. I don't want anything of mine to go away. But the fact that James Harden, who is a quality basketball player who eventually going to be in the Hall of Fame, broke it means a lot to me, simply because nobody snuck up and accidentally broke it. You know, it was inevitable it was going to happen.
So you're saying if Ryan Anderson had 56 and a whole quarter to go, it might have been a different story?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
You're saying if Ryan Anderson had 56 entering the fourth quarter, it might have been a little different?
No. It was just, there was nothing that was going to stop James last night. It was a perfect evening for him to do it. And the fact that, he only took 30 shots to get 60 points. Of course, he got, 16 free throws. I mean, it was incredible. I'm proud that I held it for 40 years. I was proud that he was able to break it, and I was there to see it happen because it was history.
Murph, I got to ask, though, man. I know I was telling Joel, if it were me, I would have been dying on the inside trying to put on that brave face. Was there a little bit of sadness? Were you?
Not at all. Because if it had come down to that, I'd have just gone home and got my voodoo doll. That's all. Well, not at all. James Harden deserved that record the way he played last night. That's the bottom line. My day is over. My day is gone. All my contemporaries, nobody even talks about anymore, and I'm still standing. So I have nothing to be upset or sad about.
No,
I'm
Murph,
still here.
Murph, I was talking about it, too, because people don't realize, what'd you average your senior year, 40?
Yes.
So you averaged 40 points a game in college, and then, like you said, you come into the league, and no one thinks that you're even supposed to be playing in the league, whether it be size or otherwise. And to have that record stand that long, when you talk about the likes of Hakeem and Moses and Clyde and all the guys, Tracy McGrady, Yao Ming, you saw them come and go. And the beauty of it was, like someone said, you were able to be there the entire way watching them and realizing that was one record that withstood the test of time for so long. That says a whole hell of a lot about your career.
Oh, absolutely. And I also got to mention, I was very pleased with the comments that James Harden made about me, and I really think they were sincere. James and I, over the last couple of years, have gotten to be pretty close, and we talk, a great deal about things. And for him to take me along for the ride, was very nice. If you remember, years ago when I had the free throw shooting record and Larry Bird went at it, nobody knew about that record until Larry Bird went after it.
Yeah.
The same thing here with this record. Nobody really understood 40 years of a record standing until James Harden went on it. Now, with that being said, they got to take the Murph along for the ride. So I ain't mad about nothing.
Murph, you think it'll be another 40 years before somebody breaks Harden's record now?
Well, the way the game is played today, I don't think so. The way the game is played today, he might even break his own record.
That's what I was thinking. I really was.
But the way the game is played today, where you can't touch anybody and there's so many talented shooters out there, I doubt if it's going to last as long as it did while I had it.
All right, well, you said it, so I'm going to ask you, if you played in today's game where nobody could touch you, what would the record be? Because I'm sure you would hold it. What would you have? How much could you put up?
Well, that's a good question. The way they're playing today, and don't forget the three-point line.
Uh-huh.
anything could happen. But, you know, when I look back on that record right now, you know what upsets me? I missed 3 foul shots that night.
Oh, really?
I missed 3 foul shots that night. And
did
I'm telling
you really?
You why I missed it. I saw 60 points, you know, stare me in the face, and I choked.
Oh,
first time in my career because wow. I wanted that 60.
Now, Murph, you see a guy like Isaiah Thomas, and I know you, I used to field the calls for you and to figure out who we would do the interviews with, but even his game is different than your game. And as you look up and equate, that's why to Barry's question, it's so good because, you know, he has a totally different game than you had. And I think in this day and age, if you were in your prime, you could excel in this league regardless.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Joby. You know, you got to remember now, when I played, I had a roller coaster career because I played for 7 coaches in my career with the Rockets. So there was times when I was starting, and there was times when I wasn't playing, and then of course when we got to the World Championship, when I actually thought nobody in the world could deal with me because the big men were too slow and the little men couldn't get my shot, and the only one that could stop me, and that was Dale Harris by benching me. But with that being said, and you know, I feel very, very blessed on what I did accomplish, and when I sat there and watched James Harden perform, it was an honor to see somebody of that quality coming after me. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And that told me something, as I explained to my grandson this morning, because you know Calvin Jr. III was really upset. I said, baby, they were coming after me. I wasn't going after anybody. That's a great honor to set a record where people are coming to get what you had. And now he understands, and that's the way
awesome.
I feel.
Yeah. And Murph, keep in mind
nothing,
now, you...
And I'm going to say one more time, I have nothing to be upset about. It could not have worked out any better for James and for Calvin Murphy.
Now, keep in mind, though, you didn't have the hand check rule. But people knew well before Roy Jones Jr., and I know you're a boxing aficionado, but pound for pound, I know that the best fighter in the damn NBA was Calvin Murphy, and if you got too close to him, you might catch something in the mouth.
Yo, you had to bring that up. You know, when we played, technicals were only $25. You could knock somebody for $25 if they called it. You got to remember now, me and Sidney Wicks got into a fight, and we fought for 10 minutes. When it was over, we got into the fast break and kept on playing.
Damn! Hey, Murph, between you and I, but you didn't hug it out after the game, did you?
Absolutely not.
There's a backstory on that one. I wasn't going to bring Sidney Wicks up, but I was going to say the one guy I know that you wouldn't fight was Al Addles.
Man, you couldn't melt me and pour me on Al Addles. Are you kidding me? Al will hit you on Monday. And you don't fall down until Friday. You must be crazy.
I was going to say.
I'd rather fight a gorilla with a switch than getting tangled up with Al Addles.
Because I said that in today's game, you hear Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, all these guys you don't mess with. I'm like, you go back in Murph's day, you didn't have just one or two. You had like 16 to 20.
Oh, please. Like I'm telling you, there were guys in the league that they were just put on the teams just to be the enforcer.
The goon.
And, you know, and these guys are guarding you. They're headlocking you. You know, they got you in a half Nelson, and you still had to score. And because of it, every now and then you had to show that you were able to bob and weave a little bit to make them behave.
No, you didn't bob and weave. You threw haymakers, too. I know, because I told
well,
you growing up.
You know me. I'm getting mine first.
Yes. I said growing up, the Rockets always played a Sunday afternoon game in Milwaukee, and I think for like 6 straight years, Murph got thrown out throwing a haymaker at somebody. It was awesome.
Every day.
Now, Murph, the reason why I said all this, too, is because of the fact that I don't want people that they see you on TV and just think of you as with the guy with the suits that you got to go home and water so that they grow right. I wanted people to know that there was actually more to it than just the suit game.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad you brought that up. People have no idea who I really was. Those suits have redefined me in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, they think that I was some kind of little lily that was a playboy. They have no idea that my career was done in dungarees and overalls. Got those suits.
<You see? laughs>
That's good stuff.
That's great stuff, Murph. Man, you know I always love catching up with you. And by the way, we're doing Way Back Wednesday today. We're doing songs that pre-2000 that were actually sampled in songs nowadays that are more current. But I know you love music and you love you some James Brown. So believe me, we got a little James Brown for you on the playlist today.
Hot dog, that's what I'm talking about.
There you go, right there.
The one song I want you to play for me is I Feel Good.
There it is.
Murph, you know I love you, brother. Thanks for checking in with us and keep doing what you do. We love watching you on TV.
Love you more, Joby.
All right, buddy. Calvin Murphy right there on our HR&P listener line. The man, the myth, and the man whose record just fell after 40 years. He is a legend.
That was
Calvin
fun.
Murphy. Yeah, he's a good dude. He's like family to me. He's a good dude.
I like his old school jokes too.
Yeah. Let me tell you.
I'd rather fight a gorilla with a switch. That's great. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. The Sidney Wicks part, we got all we could get out on the air. But Sidney Wicks back in the day might have hung out with Billy Squire. You just don't know. All right, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna get back to the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5. Get on up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. That was awesome having my man Murph join us. He is just good people.
Really good.
And like I've said in the past, he gets such a bad rap for what was publicized as allegations. And when he was cleared, instead of on the front page, it was on the back page. And everybody just thought it would, you know. And I said it then, I'll say it now. If people would attack with the same ferocity to make sure a man's name is cleared that they did when they thought he was guilty, it would be a better world.
Yeah.
But,
Sure.
So,
real quick, Joe, truck driver Joe said, happy anniversary, guys. No pun intended. So, thank you, truck driver Joe.
It's not today, though, right?
No, it's
we're close. We're in the
week.
We're
approaching. Yeah, we're within a week of our 1 year show anniversary. What did I say, February 5th?
5th or 6th, you said. The 5th was a Saturday, Sunday, I think. I think it was the 6th.
I'll go back and look again.
Fact of the matter is that Nick.
February 6th.
At some point, Nick will get the address to the station, so all gifts should be delivered in care of Barry, Joel, and we'll take care of Nick.
Yeah,
with what we don't want. But just make sure you keep continuing to send gifts that entire. We'll just call it our anniversary week.
Don't you hate people that do that?
Oh, it's annoying.
It's my birthday month. No, bitch, you get one day. That's it.
No, birthday month?
Yeah you never heard people do that?
A week, yeah, but a month? Damn.
Dude's like, it's my birthday week. No, bitch, you get one day. That's all
you
get.
You're not a birthday girl for 30 days. Forget that.
Dudes, too. See, when I use the B word, I use it universally. It's not just for ladies. Dudes as well. Anybody.
Or a birthday dude.
Yeah, but
for 30 days?
Week, a birthday.
You know what's ironic about that?
Even a birthday weekend, you can go to hell. You get one day.
You know what's ironic about that?
What?
Those are also the same people that are their entire timeline is their selfies.
Yes.
They love them from them, and they ain't selling that. There's not enough time in one day to celebrate a birthday.
No, it's like you don't get a week, you don't get a weekend, you get one day, and then the rest of it, if you want to do activities around it, that's fine. If you're going to go out of town for your birthday, but guess what? You don't get the weekend. It's a one day. That's it.
I guess is it okay to have more than one day if you're like traveling for your birthday? Like, hey, man, birthday.
Hey, we're going to Vegas for my
Saturday.
Birthday.
Oh, I did that. I've done that.
That's like a birthday weekend right there.
No.
Are they celebrating each and every day?
You'll be in Vegas on your birthday. There's a big difference between that and it's my birthday weekend.
What if he approaches you and prefaces it and says,
when is your birthday, Nick? May 10th. So on May 10th, I'm going to be so nice to you. I'll go get you some lunch. I'll be nice to you. You don't get a whole weekend of that. You get one day. One day. And if we're in Vegas, I'll buy your lunch and give you $100 for slots on one day.
$100. Here's the key.
Don't get a damn weekend. That's selfish.
Well, but
unless your mom was in labor for 72 hours.
If Nick isn't the
and
one.
And the head was out, and that's it.
The biggest issue is if Nick is organizing his own birthday weekend or month or week.
People do that, right?
But if your boys come to you, like when I turned 40, my boys all came to me and said, we're going to Vegas for the weekend.
Nope.
I was great with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's all.
I had nothing to do with it.
Well, if I don't pay, like if it's like, hey, come to my to Vegas for my birthday for the whole weekend and I'm paying for it, oh, I'm celebrating his birthday every
damn
day.
Everybody paid their own way. And of every course, day. Ironically, they make the announcement, we're going to Vegas for your birthday. And they're like, hey, can you line up the free golf?
Yeah.
So then I ended up lining up more hotels and golf and stuff.
You get one day. And you know what? Grown ass people, stop putting dollar bills on your shirt.
That's insane.
Stop that.
Insanely, like, in look high at
me-ish. In high school, that was fine. But there's people that will pin dollar bills to their shirt as adults and walk around. Stop that. Right now, if you are sitting in a cube and today is your birthday, first of all, happy birthday. Second of all, take those dollars off. You look like an idiot. Right now, put them in
your
pocket.
Attention whore.
Put them in your pocket. Yes, and stop being an attention whore. You look like an idiot. Stop it.
They got gift cards at Starbucks.
Grown
the people
ass
that care
man.
Enough to buy you coffee will get you a gift card.
Yeah, you're a grown ass man with dollars taped to your shirt like a stripper. Stop it.
And some it's people, ridiculous. When you feel that some people, you feel that pin with that dollar get your nipple, that's intentional.
What?
That's like you're pinning dollars to your shirt. Yeah. There you go, right here in the nipple. Take that one.
Yeah. You know what? I wish we would have asked Calvin about the Blake Griffin trade.
Yeah.
I wanted to get his opinion on that because, you know, I would like to see what guys from another era feel like about how people are, oh, it's just so, you know, they did him dirty, which they did, but it's, you know, I'm curious what guys from a different era would think about what goes on in today's NBA from a business standpoint. Because I'm sure I would guess that a guy like Murph would be like, he's getting his money. I mean, you
first
play where
and
you
foremost,
play.
Foremost, Murph's going to tell you. Yeah, he goes, you know, you could trade me to Siberia. I guarantee you, Murph would say, you could trade me to Siberia if I was getting 20-some million a year like
yes,
he is or whatever
exactly.
It is.
That's why I wanted to ask him. Next time he comes on, we got to ask him.
Yeah, we'll get
that.
Him on. We'll do that because that's the big thing. And Blake Griffin's actually going to wear 23 in Detroit. He's doing his photo shoot today. But he actually handled it better than I thought he would. I mean, to start out with the gif of Will Smith from Fresh Prince doing the bug eyes like, what? I just got traded.
Uh-huh.
And he basically then sent a tweet to Andre Drummond and said, are we automatically best friends now? So,
yeah.
Look,
he handled it a lot better than I thought he would.
I agree with you. Because
I thought
he'd
have like a little meltdown or something.
Well, here's the thing. What he's doing on the outside is professional and very good marketing.
Well, his post to the LA fans was really classy, and I was like, man, whoever wrote that did a great job.
We're not getting to the one area of the business that he's not addressing, which is that Clippers organization as a whole.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, remember, this was the guy that when he won the lottery had Blake Griffin's number and his jersey stitched in the inner linings of his sport coat.
Oh, no.
So, and he was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And then when you take his jersey to the rafters in a cell that, hey, you're going to retire a Clipper and someday we're going to retire your jersey. And then, oh, by the way, without any Vaseline, you're taking this and you're going to Detroit?
Man, of all places to be sent to.
Boy, that is a tough one to take. But look, they you know what? For all they gave away, they still got a decent roster. And in the Eastern Conference, I think they can still get in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they're eighth or ninth right now.
Ninth, but I said I'm saying they can still get in. But it's not a bad team. But
if he stays healthy, that's the thing I would be so worried about. All right, I saw this question because I don't want us to get into anything too important with 3 minutes left, but I thought this would both of you guys would be able to answer this pretty well. And a friend of mine, Joshua J. Nieto on Facebook, had this question. He said, if you could only use 4 ingredients, that's the maximum you could use, what is the best combination for a breakfast taco? 4 ingredients max.
Are we doing this now or later?
Now. What is what's in your breakfast taco? 4 ingredients max.
Obviously eggs.
Okay.
Cheese.
Okay.
Bacon.
All right.
Mushrooms.
You put mushrooms in your breakfast taco?
Like mushrooms or onions, yeah.
Wow. I don't have any room for veggies in mine. What are you
going
with,
Nick? Breakfast tacos, I'm pickier. I'd probably do egg, cheese, maybe some sort of like steak fajita or something like that to go in there with it. And then the fourth ingredient, that'd be
tough. You don't have to have 4, up to. You can add 4.
I usually do my breakfast tacos, egg, cheese, potato, and that's
about
it.
Oh, that's a good call too, potato, yeah.
Yeah.
Egg, cheese, and potato.
I think for me it's real simple. It's
egg,
cheese, and sausage, like a pork sausage or something. Like, I tell you, you can get Whataburger breakfast sausage at like H-E-B. Mm-hmm. Dude, you want to talk about legit, get some of that and then make you some breakfast tacos, just brown it real quick, chop it up.
I'm a bacon over sausage guy.
See, I like bacon, but in a breakfast taco, I'd much prefer to have
I've also
like a pork
told you
sausage
why.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah. I know what goes into them.
And yeah.
It's disturbing.
But this is, well, I mean, hell, it's bacon. It's yeah. not like that's the cleanest, healthiest animal or piece of meat. But I don't understand the folks that'll just do, what I don't understand, and my wife will do this, is she'll get beans. I'm like, in the morning?
Yeah, I think that's common though in the culture, right?
Yeah, but mm-hmm. she'll have like refried beans on a breakfast taco. I'm like, that's dinner food. I feel like that's like having broccoli for breakfast.
No.
I don't want to do that.
Beans in the morning is very common across I know, multiple
but
cultures.
Not to me.
Completely agree. And
I'm
and
super
Lisa's family,
white.
Lisa's
and
mom,
not to me.
They all do that. And then what at Pollo Loco, which is big in California, but they actually have
a breakfast taco called, with beans.
And they also they have the breakfast taco with beans. And then they also have the RBC, but it's rice, beans, and cheese, no meat.
Really?
Yeah, that's an RBC is a mm-hmm. is in a vegan, soft taco yeah. or a burrito, but no.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
That's actually cool. We should do like a breakfast taco draft or something like that. That's actually pretty cool.
I
that's
no,
smart
because
you only have four ingredients. Yeah. You got to cap it.
You can't do more than that.
Yeah, and then you can probably list ingredients and kind of give people options.
Right. Because I'm like when I was in San Antonio, I went to the grocery store. I bought 18 eggs. I bought a thing of turkey sausage because I'm on the Usual Suspects weight loss challenge, so I'm trying to lose weight. But I bought turkey sausage and a thing of low-fat cheese and tortillas. That was the only thing that I didn't get that was healthy was the tortillas. Now, are you a wheat tortilla guy or are you
no
gotta
way.
Go flour?
You mean corn or
corn?
Wheat?
No, yeah. corn. They have wheat too for
yeah,
healthy.
I
figured
wheat.
Joel would be wheat.
I have tried them, but yeah. I'll do corn.
They say corn's actually a little bit healthier.
It is.
It is healthier, but I like
taco,
flour.
For breakfast tacos, I got to have that flour.
Love
That's
flour.
Why I could actually just go to Whataburger and get the sausage taquito. I'm set.
Big
that's
fan
like
of the taquito.
That's like the perfect breakfast taco for me. But all right, well, that's interesting. I just want to see how you guys... I'm surprised you were mushrooms.
It's the same thing with pizzas and everything. I go...
Oh,
thing.
I don't mind
onions
that on
and mushrooms
pizza.
And...
Yeah. I just thought on the breakfast taco, I'm keeping it eggs and cheese and meat.
Yeah, you know what? If I would do anything, it would have been like tomato or something too, because my dad, my
really?
Mom and dad used to put tomato on all their breakfast sandwiches.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a Midwest thing too. That's how ketchup is originated. I don't know if you guys know that. All right, we're going to get two in the books, one to go, plenty more of the big show. 60 minutes still on the clock before we turn over to Fred, AJ Jung, and the Blitz. So stay right where you are, and we're going to come back with a lot more good stuff. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.